If weight management is one of your New Year goals, Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier can help. This science-backed formula supports metabolic balance, curbs cravings, and promotes healthy blood sugar levels, making it easier to stay consistent and in control. It helps give your body the boost it needs to keep you on track. Feel confident and energized this year with Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome to Revive Her, a transformative space where we break down walls to unearth the incredible power that lies within every woman. We're your hosts, Haley and Noel.
Dive into candid conversations about entrepreneurship, faith, and relationships, and the journeys that define us. Are you ready? Today, we are so dang excited to have a money and mindset mentor for creators and entrepreneurs come on and chat about financial freedom mindset for entrepreneurs. So Angel Marie, welcome.
I'm so excited for this conversation with her. Angel Marie is a marketing consultant and mentor dedicated to helping online entrepreneurs drop the burnout by reaching God-empowered mental and financial freedom in their lives and businesses. And that fires me up because it's all God-centered. Her goal is to help equip you internally and externally succeed in your business's mission through implementing healthy money, marketing, and mindset habits that bring the joy and peace back into your everyday life. Who the heck doesn't want that? Yeah, Angel Marie, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Yes, thank you. It is such a pleasure. I'm so happy to be here.
This is Noelle's first time meeting Angel Marie, but I have followed her on social media for I don't even know how long now. And my favorite part about your content is you're bold. You wear your faith at the forefront of everything you do. And everything you say, I feel like is draped in just such wisdom, boldness, and like you're funny too. So I don't know. I just freaking love your content. And I was like, everything she has to say is so meaningful too. So I'm just so excited to dive in. So are you ready?
Yes, let's go. And thank you so much for saying that. I appreciate that. It took me a long time to get to the confidence in posting more faith-based, bold content like that. So thank you.
But yeah, yes, and it inspires me too. Like, I don't want to say that. Like, when you see other people being so bold and not ashamed of it, like, it makes you want to do it more. So, gosh, I could just talk about you all day. So, Noelle, kick us off.
All right. So can you share a bit about your journey as an entrepreneur and how you became passionate about helping others develop a financial freedom mindset?
So I've always had an entrepreneurial heart. Mm-hmm. I studied it in college. And then from there, I branched off into working for startups in the marketing and media industries. And it wasn't up until about 2 years ago that I felt like God was calling me to fully branch off under my own brand and business so that I can really step into the entrepreneurship that I felt like I was being called to walk in. And it's just so, I always share the story that like when people want to step into entrepreneurship, you have this perception of like, yes, time freedom. I'm no longer tied to a 9-to-5 job. I'm free. This is going to be great. Oh my goodness. And man, I felt like I was expecting to fly and I felt like I just dropped right down on the cement. It's just a false perception.
Yeah.
There is no time freedom at first because you are simply just working hard and figuring it out. So when I first started entrepreneurship, I was working the same amount of hours, if not more, trying to start and scale a business versus when I was working a 9-to-5 previously.
100%. Yes.
Yes. And even in the midst of that, it's like you are stepping into this new version of yourself where you are forced to heal certain things, overcome insecurities, face financial circumstances because it all relies on you now because you don't have those biweekly paychecks coming in. Yeah. So I just realized in my entrepreneur journey from the very beginning that money and mindset were the two biggest things that were just so difficult mm-hmm. to overcome, to figure out, so that I was simply just feeling okay in the business that I felt like God was calling me to build. And that's what drove the passion in me of like, you know what? We need to talk about this more. Like, I felt like the online space was talking so much about make six figures online and travel the world and work remotely yes. from wherever. Yes. And it's like, why aren't people really talking about the depths of how mentally and financially just the struggle that can be there in entrepreneurship and how to overcome that, let alone being able to do that with God by your side. So mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? Let me step into confidence and boldness, because I feel like this is what God is calling me to teach and to help people with.
Yeah. And I love that you say all of that, because I don't feel like the realness, the raw truth is talked about enough. Because like when you first come into the entrepreneurship space, especially if you do anything digital or online, which I mean, who doesn't now with social yeah. media? You see everyone like talking about, I've posted about this so much lately, of like how I make 10K in one day and earn your first six figures in just 6 months and this mm-hmm. and that. And like you are made to think that it's so easy and so mm-hmm. attainable right off the bat. And it's like you said, it's just not that way. Like there's so much work, there's so much mindset work, there's so many hurdles and everything that you have to put into it. And it doesn't just happen. However, it's marketed that yeah. way. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Definitely. Yes, exactly. I just saw that there was a missing piece in the creator and entrepreneur industry that is really so popular in today's generation. And I'm like, man, I know what it's like to be completely broke and completely anxious and yeah. have my mentality take over in that regard. And I also know what it's like to be completely financially great and to be joyful and happy, but yet internally there's still something there that I, you know, that's maybe throwing my peace off. So it's like, yeah. no matter what end of the spectrum in entrepreneurship you're on, there's always something in regards to money or mindset that's going to feel off if you don't approach it in the right way. So that's really what my coaching is all about.
Yeah. And a lot of things too, I think we don't realize is subconscious. What our parents taught us, or what we just saw adults in our lives, how their money mindset was, like mm-hmm. shapes how we think about money. And a lot of us have like a scarcity money mindset. Maybe if you did grow up in like an affluent, rich family, maybe you think money just grows yeah. on trees and flows definitely. Like abundantly, and you don't yeah. have to worry for anything. So there's such a big spectrum of it. So what exactly does having a financial freedom mindset mean for entrepreneurial women, and why is it important in the journey towards financial independence?
Oh, I love this. Yes. So the first thing that I want to say is a lot of people believe that financial freedom means that you have enough money to no longer worry about anything. Yeah. You are just financially good. Financial freedom does mean that. However, it also means being able to steward the money that you have well.
Yes. And
this is something that God really has been checking my heart on within my own journey of entrepreneurship, is learning and valuing the beauty and the importance of stewardship. Yes. And in my own journey of learning that, I've realized that that skill, that financial skill, is exactly what helped open up more doors in the future to opportunities, clients, students, whatever it was that ended up bringing more money in the door unexpectedly. And yeah. this is something that I truly also think is not talked about enough, is it's like, you could learn how to make all the money in the world, but you can still fail if you don't manage that money well. So there's this concept in financial freedom that I truly believe and I hold as one of my core values as a Christian, of managing the money well that comes in, no matter how small or how big. If you are making $100 a month, you better manage that $100 a month well. If you are making yeah. $10,000 a month, manage it well. And that is when we start stepping into things like your budgeting, your saving, your ability to make wise investments, your ability to be generous rather than selfish with the money that you have. And this kind of goes back to the foundation of like all the money that comes into your business. It feels as if it's from your hard works and your efforts, but I believe that that money is all from God. He chose to bring that your way. He chose to bring you those opportunities. And now He's seeing if he can trust you with the money that he blessed you to have. So that's my biggest concept when it comes to financial freedom is, okay, yes, find a way to make money sustainably, find a way to make money in a way that can create freedom more in your life. But what are you doing with that money? If you're keeping it all for yourself, then you might want to reconsider how you are wisely bucketing up that money to go in places where God might want you to put it in. Things like budgeting, savings, other investments that are important, helping other people that need it, and things of that nature. And ultimately, I believe, and you know, this is biblically written, that when you are generous, when you pour your heart out, when you really turn your heart's position to say, you know what, this is not my money, this is God's money that he blessed me with, and I am going to use it in the way that God might want me to. When God can trust you with that, he will and can open up the door for more to come in. Mm-hmm. So there's so many factors there. I could talk about it all day, clearly.
That's like, you're literally the first person that I hear talks about it in a way, in a mindset of stewardship. Like, of course, that does get into, like you said, bookkeeping and like preparing for taxes, like tracking your profit and loss margins and stuff. But I haven't heard it talked about in as a Christian or as a woman of faith in stewardship. Like exactly what you said, like, this is God's money. Like, he's trusted me with this. How am I going to use it for the most good? And that is not talked about. Like, have you heard it talked about, Noelle?
No, never.
And I have chills over here because I'm so excited because people aren't talking about this thing. And like, when you talk about it from a stewardship point of view, it goes a layer deeper than just having good books and just having be prepared for tax season. It goes so much deeper and there's so much more meaning to that.
I feel like it's like what we believe at our core. We just don't talk about it enough and bring awareness to it.
Yes.
So could you share some strategies or exercises to help entrepreneurs identify and overcome these limiting beliefs to cultivate a mindset that is conducive to financial success?
Yeah, absolutely. So my biggest piece of advice when it comes to that is, before you start desiring and chasing after more, really focus and lean into the little that you feel you have now. You cannot expect more if you cannot handle the little now. So let's say you're making, I don't know, $3,000 a month in your business and you're like, that's not enough. I need more. I want more. I want more. Okay, well, slow down, back up. Let's look at your $3,000 income and where all of this is going.
Yeah.
Because if it's going towards bills, okay, that's great. Where else is it going that God might want you to steward it into? And how well are you doing in managing that little money you feel you have now? So I would say, look at what you have now, no matter what it is, the $300 a month, $3,000 a month, whatever, maybe it's zero, whatever. Steward it well. And don't just look at your money and think, okay, how can I steward this better? How can I manage it better? How can I become more budget friendly or generous or just wise with my money that's coming in? But how can I also steward myself as the money manager so that I can handle this in a content way rather than getting so anxious because it's just not enough? So now we're going back to the person, you, the money manager, and being able to steward yourself well. So when I say steward yourself, I'm talking about, like, how is your mental health doing? How is your physical health? How is your spiritual well-being? So you really want to ask yourself those questions too, because if you are not spiritually fulfilling yourself back up by opening up the Bible, saying prayers, meditating, things like that, if you're not taking care of your mental health with self-care days and setting boundaries, things of that nature, or even physical health, feeding your body the good nutrients it needs, going on more walks, working out more, because it's just simply good for you, then you cannot or will not be able to steward anything in the future well, whether it's yourself, more money, more customers, more client, whatever. So that is my biggest thing, is cultivating that financial freedom mindset. Immediately you think, okay, well, I just need to think more, more, more. No, think steward the now, think present, think how can I master now? Because when you do, and I'm a living, walking testimony of this, when you do, you will be astounded by the doors that will open unexpectedly of new financial blessings, of random opportunities where you're just like, whoa, where did this come from?
Yeah.
And it's like you're allowing yourself to maturely and spiritually grow in a way where God sees that, okay, you now have been able to beautifully handle what I blessed you with, no matter how little. And now I want to trust you with more. I want to trust you with being a bigger vessel with the money that I give you. So yeah, it really starts there.
It's so crazy to me because I feel like that it relates to what you just said, but it's like when I don't have my health under control, when I don't have my prayer life under control, it's like everything's unhinged, right? Yeah. And like everything, it's like I have no control over anything. But it's like when I am spending time in prayer, when I am taking care of my body, when I am eating those good foods, it just feels like everything is so much easier to take care of.
Yes.
But we live in this like unhinged society where it's like we're all just, you know, not taking care of ourselves, living on just fumes and prayers and coffee and caffeine and all of that. So that's really powerful. That connects to me.
Yeah.
Sure.
And honestly, it's because society lives by the belief that you have to be in hustle mode all the time.
Yes.
Like they have cultivated that in this world. So our mind is naturally in survival mode all the time. And because it's in survival mode, we are now in hustle mode all the time. And that's the funny thing too, is you really have to reflect on that. And you have to remember that the human body physically cannot be in hustle mode all the time. God never created the human body to be in hustle mode all the time. So when you are literally acting outside of your God-created nature. And now you're wondering why you're burnt out. You're wondering why you're anxious. You're wondering why you're just not ever feeling okay. So man, it's really just breaking down the core beliefs of what the entrepreneurial society has kind of set the tone for. Things like hustle mode and what financial freedom even means. And reflecting on it, flipping the script and being like, you know what? Okay, I now know what I need to do in order to create that financial freedom and just more of a peaceful life all along the way.
Yeah. And I think it's dangerous to constantly want more and constantly seek more without like learning to be content where you are, learning to be, like you said, a good steward, learning to be healthy where you are. So what are some key financial habits or practices? Like, I know we talked about some strategies and exercises, but you know, habits and practices are different. So what are some key financial habits or practices that entrepreneurs should prioritize to align with a mindset of financial freedom?
Yeah, that's so good. So the first step that I would recommend, and this is literally exactly what I did that's truly helped me, is I made an entire Google spreadsheet of all of my bills, mandatory bills, rent, utilities, groceries, Wi-Fi, need that for work, you know, so like making a list of that in one column. And then I made a list of all of the other bills that I have that are simply just wants.
Yeah.
So, you know, things like streaming services, apps, cleaning services, things that aren't necessarily needed, but I just want them. So I first did that. And then I started to think, okay, is there anything that I can cut out? Is there anything that I can cut out to try to save money, especially if I need it now?
Yeah.
So working through that strategy and then coming up with a set number of like, okay, based off of me writing this down, based off of my calculations, this is the number that are for my bills every month. So this is what I absolutely need to make every month. And then hopefully I can factor in more beyond that just so I can have like space for, you know, going out to eat and, you know, being more generous with my money and giving, things like that. So I started there. And then I made a whole nother spreadsheet, or in that same spreadsheet, if it's more helpful, of just business expenses. So apps I'm using to run the business, any equipment that I might need to invest in, things of that nature, and then incorporating that into my monthly expenses as well. So basically what I'm saying here is you are just tracking. You are getting a visual view of all the money that's coming out. And I recommend that everyone does this and write it down, because we get nowadays with, you know, our phones right in our hands, it's so easy to sign up for whatever we want.
Oh yeah.
And and now we're at the point where we don't even know what bills are coming out. They're just coming out.
Exactly.
Right. So it's like, write it down, see what you can cut, see what the actual calculation is, and then just have that visual view. And then from there, I would recommend creating separate accounts. Like I always recommend you have a business account. I always recommend you have your personal account for bills. But then I recommend you have a separate account only for entertainment purposes. Mm-hmm. So this is something I did last year where I created a whole separate account and I set a budget for every month, this amount of money can go in this account. And I can use that money on that card or that account to go out to eat, to travel, to, I don't know, go to the movies, whatever, just so I can create more fun in my life. And if I run out, I cannot pull from my other accounts. Like that is the discipline you have to have there so that you're not just freely spending money just because.
Yeah.
And then there's another budgeting bucket of generosity and giving, tithing if you go to a specific church. So basically, in summary, what I'm saying is creating your budgeting buckets first based off of that big picture view of the money that's coming in that you just built in the spreadsheets. And then from there, as a business owner, hire a bookkeeper, tax accountant, financial advisors to help you, because oh my gosh, it is so overwhelming to do it by yourself, especially when tax season comes. The past last year and this year, like just to be honest, I get so stressed out because I've just been doing it by myself. I just recently hired a tax team in January that's going to be taking over everything this year and therefore will be doing taxes for next year and all that stuff. So anyway.
Wait. Were you doing your own taxes prior to this?
I was doing my own bookkeeping and accounting through QuickBooks by myself. And then I went through TurboTax and hired like a TurboTax expert to help me do my taxes. But it was, it was a hot mess.
I was like, girlfriend, like I could not. Like as soon as I got my business, I was like, I am so bad at math. Now I do my own bookkeeping and I probably do it poorly. I don't know if I need to hire someone, but I do my own bookkeeping through QuickBooks. But I hire and I outsource like a CPA for my like taxes and stuff. I've never touched that. Not even going to try to do that.
And I don't know what kind of crown I thought I was wearing thinking that I could do it myself. But no.
But we do that. That's my point is like women. And like we do that or like, I can't afford a bookkeeper or like, I don't want to outsource that because like that money could be used for something else. But it also goes back to where are you stewarding your money best? Like, yeah, you could spend it somewhere else, but should you be spending it somewhere else? Yeah, it's such a good point. I love all of that.
Yes, exactly. And it goes back to stewardship.
Yeah.
The Bible also says, give money where it's owed.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact scripture, but I remember one of his disciples was like, you know, asking Jesus, well, should we pay taxes to Caesar? And Jesus was like, give money to Caesar because this is the world you live in. Give money where it's owed and give to God what is God's. And I thought about that so much because it's like, man, if I'm not doing my taxes right, if I'm just kind of clinging to this money or trying to get away with it or whatever, I am not stewarding my finances well. So now it goes back to financial stewardship. Yeah. So that's why I say like, do QuickBooks and then hire a CPA. Or I went through, it's called Collective. They are amazing. They handle everything for you. And they're specifically for self-employed entrepreneurs, creators, coaches, things like that. They do everything. And it is such a blessing because they will help me pay my taxes on time quarterly. They help me organize expenses, make sure everything is done right so that I am stewarding my finances rather than being so messy and all over the place with them. So that would be my second step there. And then the third step is just taking care of the clients, customers, students that you have now, even if it's just one. Just take care of that now. Steward the work you're doing for them well now before you start seeking more. And that's a big deal because again, it's like if you're not stewarding the work that they hired you to do or the work that they're investing, the money that they're investing in you for with your products or services, if you are not stewarding them well, the way that God would want you to, then you will not steward any more beyond that well either. Yep. So yeah, that was a very long-winded way of saying those are the three steps to cultivate more of that financial freedom.
So entrepreneurship often involves taking risk and facing failures. How does having a financial freedom mindset influence an entrepreneur's approach to risk-taking and bouncing back from setbacks?
Okay, so when you take risks as an entrepreneur, a lot of times you are, well, I should say every single time, you are taking a step of faith. And the definition of faith literally is believing and hoping in the things that you cannot see. And that is what is so complicated about entrepreneurs taking risks is because, especially women, we want to know how things are going to end up. We want to understand the future. We want to see the end result. But that is not what faith is at all. So when you think about wanting financial freedom, wanting to step into that, and at the same time taking risks within your business, you have to have this sense of, okay, if I am going to seek the financial freedom that not only I desire, but that I know that God wants for my life, I have to learn what it looks like to walk by faith. And when you walk by faith, it's not just being okay with the unknown, because that is the definition of faith. You are believing in things you don't see. So therefore, you are okay with what you don't know and walking in it. You also have to find this level of contentment and peace as you're taking those risks. And I say that because a lot of times with risks comes natural anxiety. Maybe you quit your job, that's the risk. Maybe you make this huge investment in your business, that's a risk. And now you're anxious about the choice that you made. You're worried about it. But that's the thing, is it's like, if it's really faith, faith does not have anxiety. Faith does not have fear. You have to decide which one. Are you going to walk in fear? Are you going to walk in faith? You have to choose. And that is where the spiritual maturity comes into play, because you can't just be like, okay, I'm going to walk by faith. Let me just try to be at peace. Yeah. You have to work at it. Like you just said earlier, if you don't pray consistently, if you don't fill your spiritual cup back up, opening up your Bible and just allowing God to walk hand in hand in that risk with you, then you're going to feel so unhinged. You're going to feel like it's chaos. So there's just this level of faith in risk taking to help you get to that financial freedom that God does desire for your life.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, I'll also say it's important to be wise and aware in the kind of risk you're taking. Because a lot of times, especially with people that have entrepreneurial ambitions, we get so impatient and we just wanna take the jump and do the thing, because we just get so impatient and we're just ready to go. We feel like we're running out of time, so we got to do it now. But that is where it can get dangerous, because you can either choose your timing or you can decide to go God's way and choose God's timing over your life and your business. So now we're kind of back to spiritual stewardship and you doing the work to really understand where God is calling you to go and understanding the risks that he wants you to make. For an example, before I left my last 9-to-5 job to branch off into full-time entrepreneurship, I was praying about it, because I was like, I don't just want to leave out of haste. I want to leave if and when God is calling me.
Yeah.
And I prayed on it. And I was like, you know what, God, I'm ready to leave now. I want to put my 2 weeks in. Yeah. I am ready. I'm ready. And I kept praying on it and praying on it. And then all of a sudden, I literally felt him tell me, you need to wait 6 months. Like, you're not ready yet, but in 6 months, you can leave. And I remember being like, 6 months? Okay, like, I got to push through another 6 months. And I did, because that is what God's timing was for my life and my future business at that time. So I did. I stewarded my work well at the job for 6 months. And then when the 6 months came, I branched off, and God has taken care of me ever since. So it's also this sense of like, don't just take risks to take risks. Don't just take risks because people are telling you to take risks. Take a risk, take a leap of faith, because God is telling you that it's time to do that.
Yeah, there's a fear with that sometimes. I had almost like an opposite experience. I had a $30,000 retainer client that I just know God was moving on me to end that contract and let them go. It didn't align in so many ways, spiritually, morally, just business-wise. Like, there was everything about it was just not right anymore. But I had such a fear of letting that money go. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I knew in my spirit that God was like, it's time. And it took me 6 months to listen to God and to let that go, because I had that fear of like, okay, this helps with bills. This helps me pay my team. This helps with this, and this. God, like, I need you to take care of me. And I finally got to the point is like, I trust that you're going to take care of me, because you're telling me to let this go. And so I did. And I had so much peace about it. I regretted not doing it sooner.
Yeah.
There was still a little bit of a fear of like, okay, God, like I'm uncomfortable. Like this is scary, but I had a peace with it too. And so that's like a different weird take on like financial freedom. Cause I gave up a $30,000 retainer client, but I felt free. I was like, God, yeah, I'm just leaving it to you. Like throwing caution to the wind here. And like, he has taken care of me tenfold. Like he has, he's just taking care of me every single month. Like I might get to a point of like, okay, God, like what's going to happen? And then he comes in every time.
Yes.
So that I kind of want to lean into this last question going off of that. Like, what advice do you have for entrepreneurs who may be facing financial setbacks or obstacles on their journey towards financial freedom?
Yeah, that's so good. So the first thing that I want to say in relation to that, and in relation to the beautiful point that you just made as well, is that you have to believe that God will meet you wherever you're at.
Yes.
He will meet you there. So the choices you've made, the risks that you've taken, the struggles you find yourself in, the pain that you feel, he's waiting for you in those spaces, just waiting for you there. And I think a lot of times when we're facing financial struggle, especially, we tend to be our own God unintentionally because we feel so stuck that we're like, we got to figure this out. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I'm the only one who can save me in my financial struggle.
Yeah.
So we kind of unintentionally, we're our own God and we try to hustle our way into figuring out this financial struggle. But when you see that God is literally like just sitting on your couch waiting for you to come to come sit with him and to just talk with him about it, to just cry with him when it comes to that, to just let out your thoughts, your feelings, your prayers, your just walk hand in hand with him through that struggle. That's the first thing to do. Like, and I, man, just a quick story. I remember it was last summer. Cause you know, as entrepreneurs, you can have very successful months. You can have months where you're like, all right,
Where's
my money coming in now this month? I had that last summer, I got to a point where I was just out of money and I was like, whoa, okay. What's next? Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I was like, you know what? When I feel helpless, I've learned that this is such a beautiful learning lesson to get equipped to depend on God. Because you don't have any other choice unless you just want to burn yourself out and, I don't know, get evicted from your apartment or whatever. Like you are spiritually forced in a healthy way to depend on God. So I spent every day for a few weeks waking up early, going to the park, writing in my journal and just straight up praying. I would memorize scripture on what God said about money, the things that he promised, the things that he mentioned about stewardship. I literally dove into the word and I asked myself, okay, how does this relate to my life currently? How can I implement this currently? And that's what I did. Like when I would read about sowing a seed, when I would read about financial stewardship, when I would read about, you know, what it looks like to do hard work, but not put the hard work before your faith and making sure you're leading with faith. And I started implementing those things. Opportunities came. They came. I was okay. God took care of me. So I would say that to everyone that's listening right now that's just financially struggling and who's desperately trying to reach financial freedom, don't look so much at the future of financial freedom. Look at the present and just reconnect with God in the midst of your struggle day by day. And I promise you, as you do, you are going to be equipped. You are going to be framed more into the leader that God is calling you to be. And then eventually on God's timing, doors will open and you will be more than okay.
Yes. That's so good. That is so good. Thank you, Angel Marie. This has been one of my favorite episodes to date because it's just not talked about in this way. It's so freaking good. Thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you if they want to connect with you?
Yay. Yes, absolutely. Thank you. I'm so glad that I got to be here today. So if you want to connect with me, you can head to my Instagram, Angel Marie Official. I'm also on TikTok, Angel Marie Official. No idea if TikTok is going to be here a year from now, given that whole band. But hey, you can still catch me on Instagram, Angel Marie Official, or my website, Coach Angel Marie. There's some freebies there. There's a way to contact me there. So feel free to hit me up anytime.
Yes. And we have that linked for you guys in the show notes. She even has is it a free course? Is that correct?
Yes, it's a free course.
Okay. Yeah. We have the link to the free course in the show notes. But all right, Revivers, catch you next time.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to rate the show, follow us on Instagram, leave a review on Apple, and check out our website, reviveherpodcast.com.